Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harmony Tulip Lake. Will you please stand and rise and worship with us this morning? Today is all about love and loving each other. So we want you to have a good time, love your neighbor, and sing along with us.
There is a river where goodness flows. There is a fountain that drowns sorrows. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising, rising. There is a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of heaven crashing over us. The tide is rising, rising. Bursting, bursting up from the ground. We feel it now.
Introduce new songs to this congregation that have really, really powerful meaning. So this is a new song called The Well.
I lay my burden down. My yoke is easy now. What a friend I
can't say.
Today's message is all about love. And when we think of love, that I think of God. Does anybody else think of God when they think of the word love? That's what I think of. And so this song simply says love has a name, and it is that of Jesus. So feel free to sing along even as you're seated, take in the words, and I hope the message touches you.
There's a longing that reaches past the stars. There's an answer to every question mark. There's a name. There's a hope flowing through these days. There's a voice that echoes through the pain. There's an ember ready for the flame. There's a name. We will fix our eyes on the one who overcame. We will stand in awe of the one who breaks the chain. Love has a name, Jesus. Love has a name, Jesus. There's a joy that triumphs over fear. There's a laughter that wipes away all. There's a presence that changes atmospheres. There's a name. We will fix our eyes on the one who overcame. We will stand in awe of the one who breaks the chain.
I know for myself, that is hard to just always love no matter what. But I know that you are showing us how to do that because you love us no matter what, God. No matter how many times we mess up, no matter how many times we fail, you continue to just soothe us. How incredible is that? That through everything, there's one constant in all of our lives. That is your presence, that is your love, that is your grace. How miraculous it is to wake up every morning knowing that someone loves us. Help us to love in the way that you do, God. In the way that your son did, God. To love our enemy more than we love ourselves. To love our neighbor as ourselves, God. Help us to spread good in everything that we do. Big, no matter how small, let us always act in love, God, in your name. We are grateful and we are thankful.
We will fix our eyes on the one who overcame. We will stand in awe of the one who breaks the chain. 'Cause love has a name, love has a name, Jesus. Oh, love has a name, love has a name, Jesus. Oh, love has a name, love has a name, Jesus. Love has a name, love has a name, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you. So we begin today's message on an outward focus with a scripture reading from one of the most, if not the most, wonderful and beloved passage in the whole of the New Testament. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this morning we're going to focus on verses 4 through 8 from the New Revised Standard Version, which is going to be read by Stephanie Purcell, one of our campus leaders. Again, today's reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. So I like that last part, too, where it talks about love never ends. Amen? So, now how many times have you heard this passage? Even just portions of it, just read or seen it. We know weddings galore use it. Pretty much everyone thinks they know what it means, at least on the surface. I mean, come on. It's about love. What's not to love about love? And what else can you say about love? As Shakespeare said, love is a many-splendored thing. Or in the eyes of Eeyore, the pessimist, love is a many-splintered thing. And to me, that's where the Apostle Paul was going with this passage, which he wrote to the church of Corinth. Not that Paul was pessimistic, anything but. However, this well-respected man of God was calling out the Corinthians for their non-loving behavior toward one another and others. Their love was splintered. Now, can you imagine receiving such a letter? I mean, calling you out. Talk about harsh. Smackdown, 55 AD. I mean, you know, I bet you they really... Thank you. I bet you they really enjoy. Don't you think they really enjoy being told you're envious, boastful, arrogant, rude, insisting on your own way, irritable, resentful, rejoicing in wrongdoing? I mean, come on, smackdown indeed. Everything love is not, they are. Everything love is, they're not. Man, bring out the water buckets because they're going to have to put out the flames. They just got torched. Of course, we could still apply those words to the standard upon which we and upon which every church should be evaluated. Or I could use another word choice, judged. Because in that case, what percentage do you think would be found wanting, not up to the love standard? In fact, if we're truly honest, none of us actually reach the heights of love as described by Paul. And I want us to face that truthfully and honestly because it's okay. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, what do you mean it's okay? Well, if we're truthful about it and we're also humble about it, then we well know that we have room to grow and we want to grow. Isn't that what we should and want to do with a standard of love that's set by God and made real in the life of Christ? Now, these past week, we've talked about relationships, you know, connecting with God, connecting with others. But are these connections commendable if there isn't love? For the love as written in this inspiring passage is worthy of a significant investment of time and energy, right? And by the way, you may be wondering about that, the inclusion of that last verse that we had, verse 8. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. You see, there were members of the Corinthian congregation who were trying to build up their status. They were jockeying each other for position, best position in the house of God. It was sort of like, who's going to get the seat next to Christ? It reminds me of the story from Luke 22 where the disciples were arguing with each other about who's the greatest. Well, these Corinthians, they were seeking recognition based on their particular spiritual gifts. But you see, Paul addresses this in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians when he says, all spiritual gifts are manifestations of the Spirit of God. We must recognize this, though, that the body of the church is diverse and all of its members play an essential role in the health of the whole. But the Corinthian spiritual gifts game of one-upsmanship was all about pride, and we talked about that last week. And paraphrasing Paul in regard to that nonsense, get over your bad selves. What Paul was getting at was this. Whatever spiritual gifts you have, because guess what? Everyone's got one or two or three. They come to an end. And that includes your knowledge. They cease to exist. Yet, what lives on? Love. It's going to live on eternally and into the age to come. And that's the love that is given away. And we are to practice this love and give it away rather than hold on to it, hoard it, keep it under lock and key. Because love trumps all those gifts. Now, people tend to think of love as a feeling. Yeah, and it is. However, in this context, it's more than a feeling. It's an action. It is agape. And that's the type of love that transforms and renews. This type of love, which works through Christ in us, is not a love that seeks an advantage for ourselves. This type of love puts forth the interests of others first. It works on behalf of others. This type of love, this is what we're supposed to be choosing. Divine love, agape love. So now I'm going to take 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, and now I'm going to shift it over into our focus journey. This morning is part 3 in the series that has been about questions that were asked by John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. Some of you may say old white guy. And so these were to the small groups, which he formed, and he's given us 21 challenging, thought-provoking questions that require, they demand reflection and candid response. That's key, is candid response. So why are these questions being asked? Ultimately, for the maturity of our spiritual lives. The last two Sundays, we were presented with two sets of seven questions. It's part of a study that was written by Chris Folmsbee called the Wesley Challenge. We had an upward focus, we had an inward focus, and today is going to be about an outward focus, being in relationship with others. My hope is that you're seriously considering these questions, even if it's one a day. That's okay. One a day will be fine. But the key around that is it's to push ourselves. Because the more emphasis we place upon honestly answering these questions, the stronger we'll become, not only spiritually, but mentally, emotionally. And some of these questions will actually help us physically, too. To truly live into these questions will impact our relationship with God, our Creator, our highest power. And in all of this, what must we include? Love. So let's move forward into our third and final set of seven questions for an outward focus. The questions will be on the flat screen TVs as well as printed in the inside cover of your worship bulletin for today. Let's say them together. Do I thank God that I am not like others? Am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression that I am better than I am? In other words, am I a hypocrite? Do I confidentially pass on to others what was told to me in confidence? Am I jealous, impure, critical, irritable, touchy, or distrustful? Am I honest in all my actions and words, or do I exaggerate? Is there anyone whom I fear, dislike, disown, criticize, hold resentment toward, or disregard? When did I last speak to someone about my faith? As I've done previously, I'll place emphasis on a couple of today's outward focus questions. So, let's see. What question do I want to ask first? It is, am I jealous, impure, critical, irritable, touchy, or distrustful? Well, if that doesn't put a mirror up on our faces about what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. These six listed character flaws, they're real, and we're human. Very much so. Simply, though, if we're direct and we were to answer all of these questions in one fell swoop, it's going to be, yes. It's going to be a disheartening yes, but it's still a yes. Now, you know, we could play the game and go, well, you know, I'm a little jealous. I'm impure, critical, yeah, right? It could go high, low, all over the place. It's varying levels, right? Some higher, some lower. But our answer is still going to be yes. Ugh. Okay, let's dig a little further into this. What is it that makes us want what others have? What is it about ourselves that allows our tainted feelings towards someone to ruin our day? But in addition to that one, you know what? We're just going to ruin someone else's day as well. Why do we feel the need to criticize things that aren't even our responsibility? And in some cases, it doesn't even affect us personally. We're just still going to do it. Why do we make needless remarks to our loved ones, thereby proving our irritability? Now, these are some difficult, where's the love, self-awareness questions. And in response to our honest Abe's answer of yes to this question of Wesley's, I ask this. Are we working to become less of those? These six character flaws. Because in this life, here's a reminder, are we not works in progress? And to progress, we definitely should be working to become less of these negative traits, right? What drives this tough question from Wesley is the knowledge that we allow our circumstances and situations to direct our behavior. And these behaviors live inside all of us. And when we express them, however, they become an issue that we have to address. Now, if you recognize, oh, gosh, man, I have a problem in this area, so I'm going to pick one. Frustration and irritability. All right, so take a chill moment to consider what healthy outlets that are available to you to tamp it down or overcome it. Let's see. All right, outlets like prayer and meditation, those are our go-tos as Christians, right? Okay. But how about this one? Singing a song. Go for it. Full throttle. Woo! You're in the shower. Nobody's caring. You just don't care. Just sing it out. Go for it. Or how about exercising? You go to the gym, take yoga classes, bicycle safely in the streets of L.A. Good luck with that. Personally, I like running. I really like running, but even walking around the block, you know, walk two or three blocks. And while I'm doing that, I take in the surrounding environment along the walk, and it really calms me down. Another calming outlet for many of us here is playing with our creature companions, our dogs, our cats, our birds, or, you know, whatever creature quiets your soul. So find and put into action the healthy way or ways that work for you. Make sense? And of all the things, we have to be sure to ask God, our divine help, to give you peace, which reminds us of the first, reminds me of the first section of the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Help us, Lord Jesus, to properly address the stress and anxiety that will inevitably come our way. All right, let's move on to the second question. Is there anyone whom I fear, dislike, disown, criticize, hold resentment toward, or disregard? Oh, my. Does anyone think we just went from bad to worse? Right? Well, in regards to this particular question, guess what? We have a great example. It's Jesus. Love is Jesus. That's the example of love, who demonstrated a love for all people in all situations. As for us, with all people, much, you know what we do much of the time? We compare others to ourselves. Yet as Christians, we've got to be compassionate in seeing the value and worth in each person. Let's see them as God sees them. Now, does that mean we're going to be compatible with everyone? No. Somebody, somewhere, somehow, they're going to drive you crazy, right? Just gonna. But who are we called to be? Compatible Christians or compassionate Christians? We are to lay down our arms, and we've got to be persons of reconciliation. Now, that is not easy. Not saying it's easy, but that's what we're supposed to do, because that's a challenge that's been put forth by Christ to be loving toward all. I want to share a personal story with you. When I first started working at Hollywood United Methodist Church, this goes back into 1993 as the business administrator, there was one person, a church lady, who was on all, she was on all the committees, and she was sour like the bitterest of lemons. When I'm saying, Lord have mercy, I was saying that a lot. I'm talking bitter. It was like a whole bag of lemons. Now, at the same time, I'm pointing fingers at myself. I was judging her. Because if you saw her coming down the hallway and she's shouting out your name, you didn't have to be psychic to know, Lord have mercy, the news coming from her is not going to be pretty. Her mere presence would make me shudder and stop in my tracks, and I was desperately searching for a hiding place to go. At the time, the Harry Potter series hadn't been published, and I'm telling you, if it had been, this church lady would have been a top-of-the-line dementor. Well, it took me about 3 years, and I want you to remember, what did I say? We're works in progress. It took me about 3 years with a lot of prayer and plenty of nudges from Christ. Man, Christ was being persistent on this one. I finally decided, Mark, get off your high horse. Let's lay down the judgment arms. And so what I did was I approached her from a place of genuine love and care. I decided I had to be more interested in her as a person rather than as a beast. Now, when I did this, by actually listening to her on a human level, by sincerely engaging with her, you know what she did? She eventually let her caustic guard down. And that multi-layered shield that was protecting her underbelly was of surprise, warmth, and kindness. That protective shield had been drawn up because this church lady had been repeatedly hurt by life, and she had been repeatedly hurt by people, and no one knew it. This is where trust had been a decades-old issue for her. And by her ultimately trusting me, because she came to understand that I truly, truly cared for her, that I wasn't going to run, hide, or fight, that we built up a strong bond of friendship. Both of our walls of fear, dislike, criticism, and resentment came tumbling down. And you know that negative atmosphere that was around church, that existed around her? It evaporated completely. All because both of us were willing to step out of our comfort zones and take a risk. But in this instance, it had to start with my awareness of Christ relentlessly prodding me by listening and following through with what Christ demanded me to do, and then allowing the Spirit of God's love to take over. Does it always work out this way? The happy end? Unfortunately, no. But it is how we choose to live life with others that is imperative to God's plan for this earthly world. God desires for us to be the best possible individuals we've been created to be. Going to Micah 6:8, it states, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. And that is an excellent mandate. I'm going to end this morning's outward focus message with this. We must think beyond ourselves. That's what the 7 questions from John Wesley's has challenged us to do today. It's pushing us past superficiality for us to show agape love and be generous and compassionate to others, which is a direct reflection of our love for Christ. You get that? That is a direct reflection of our love for Christ and how we are showing up for others. So let us pursue and put this action into our lives, into our very lives every day, called us by our Creator. Amen. Amen.
Every secret, every shame, every fear, every pain, live inside the dark, but that's not who we are.
Go let your light shine. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.